Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from the University of Central Florida, offering their Master's of Science in Data Analytics program. Designed to enhance skills in data analysis and machine learning, the new Artificial Intelligence track offers specialized courses to deepen understanding of AI technologies and their applications. More at ce.ucf.edu/data.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage.
Before the things that happened in Las Vegas stayed in Las Vegas, they happened in Havana. Once the jewel of the Caribbean, the city boasted resorts, casinos, and nightlife that rivaled anything found in the United States. Just 90 miles off the Florida coast, it offered a tropical retreat, free of many of the regulations that could restrict the adventures of any American. Bootleggers from Prohibition ran rum and sugar from Cuba to Florida until the fall of the Volstead Act. They then turned their fortunes into casinos, drawing cruise ships filled with thirsty gamblers leaving from Florida. Like the cruise lines today, they struck rights agreements with the ports and government of Cuba. And it was all smooth sailing until the Cuban Revolution of 1959. Following Fidel Castro's communist takeover of the island, all foreign assets were seized and nationalized. Havana's tourism trade ground to a halt as the U.S. imposed strict trade and travel sanctions, effectively shutting the island off to Americans. Other countries have maintained relationships with Cuba, keeping a tourist trade that includes cruise ships. Some of those cruise lines, including Royal Caribbean and Carnival, still use those ports in Havana. The company that held the rights to those ports before the revolution filed a suit against Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Norwegian, and MSC cruise lines, arguing that the use of these ports violates their agreement for exclusive rights. That suit made it all the way to the Supreme Court, where, last week, the court ruled in favor of Havana Docks Corporation, the company that filed the suit against the cruise lines. The ruling was 8-1, with Justice Elena Kagan writing the lone dissent. The original agreement was signed for a 99-year term in 1905. It expired in 2004. Havana Docks Corporation alleges the cruise lines used their ports between 2016 and 2019. So how did this company claim rights 65 years after a revolution revoked them and 12 years after the rights expired? Joining us to parse out this saga of cruise ships, contracts, and communists is Amy Howe, co-founder and reporter with SCOTUS blog. Amy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
And Amy, what right is Havana Docks claiming is being violated?
So Havana Docks filed this lawsuit under what's known as the Helms-Burton Act, also known as the Cuban Liberty and Democratic Solidarity Act of 1996, which was passed by Congress after the Cuban fighter jets shot down the American planes over the Gulf of Mexico. And the Helms-Burton Act contains a provision that was intended to deter people and companies from using property that was confiscated, American property that was confiscated in Cuba. And so the Helms-Burton Act contains a provision that says anyone who traffics in property which was confiscated by the Cuban government can be held liable to any U.S. national who owns the claim to such property. And so what Havana Docks said was, you know, we built these docks in Cuba and we had the right to use the docks. The Cuban government in 1960 confiscated the docks, took away our right to use the docks. And now these cruise lines, in this case from 2016 to 2019, were using the docks to offload nearly a million passengers. And that essentially was property in which we had an interest and we want to be paid for it.
Now, the violations that are being reported were between 2016 and 2019. The rights that Havana Docks held were a 99-year lease signed in 1905 that expired in 2004. So we're talking about a period that's 12 to 17 years after the expiration of the rights. So how is Havana Docks making the case that their rights have been violated after the expiration of this agreement?
Yeah, that's really the core of the case, because you know, Havana Docks went to court in Florida, and a federal judge there agreed with them that they had a claim and awarded them hundreds of millions of dollars. The cruise lines appealed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, which said you can only be held liable under this provision if you would have had that property interest without the confiscation, and you, Havana Docks, would have lost that right to use the docks in 2004. So these cruise lines weren't actually interfering with any property interest that you had. And the Supreme Court said, no, actually, we disagree. Under the Helms-Burton Act, the Cuban government seized control of the property, which was the docks that Havana Docks built. And from that point forward, the docks were basically tainted, confiscated property. And the Helms-Burton Act was enacted to deter the use of that confiscated property, and the cruise lines used them. And Justice Elena Kagan filed for the very first time a dissent all by herself. She had never, in all of her time on the Supreme Court, filed a dissent that nobody else joined. And she made exactly that argument. She said all Havana Docks had was the right to use the docks until 2004. By the time the cruise lines came along in this period between 2016 until 2019, Havana Docks wouldn't have had a right to use the docks anyway. There was no property interest that the cruise lines were trampling on.
This sounds like one of those convoluted if not but for scenarios that there's a fancy Latin term for.
Exactly. It's like some sort of law school dream exam or nightmare exam, depending on your perspective.
So what's the likelihood that Havana Docks could recover this $440 million ruling from Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, Carnival, and MSC Cruise Lines?
So that's the big question now. So the Supreme Court, as is so often the case, when the Supreme Court issues a decision, that doesn't always mean it's the end of a case. And so what happens now is that the case will go back to the lower courts because there were other issues that the Supreme Court didn't decide and some issues that the Court of Appeals didn't decide because it concluded that Havana Docks didn't have a claim. And so just to give you an example, you know, the cruise lines had argued that this was, in fact, lawful travel to Cuba. And so there's an exception to the Helms-Burton Act. You're not actually trafficking in property if you had a right to travel to Cuba. We have to knowingly traffic in this property. Whether their conduct was knowingly and intentionally trafficking in property that Havana Docks owned, or whether they thought they were using the Cuban government's property. So it's not over yet. So it remains to be seen whether Havana Docks will recover at all, and if so, how much. You know, Justice Sonia Sotomayor joined the majority's opinion in saying that, yes, Havana Docks does have the kind of property interest that would allow it to, you know, theoretically to recover under Helms-Burton. But she sort of cautioned that, you know, Congress didn't necessarily mean for companies like Havana Docks to be able to recover in perpetuity. She pointed out that when Havana Docks filed a claim not long after the confiscation with a Foreign Claims Commission that had been set up to deal with these kinds of issues, the Claims Commission decided that its claim was worth $9 million. And she said, you know, even if you take into account interest, you know, here Havana Docks could get, you know, as much as $400 million and then potentially more. And that perhaps was not necessarily what Congress had in mind.
Amy Howe is the co-founder and a reporter with SCOTUS blog. Amy, thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.